There's no specific day in which the church says that you take your candidate seeking baptism and enroll them to become catechumens. But the gospel today, and I can't say that I looked ahead to make sure this was a fitting gospel, but it is. To love God with all you have and your neighbor as yourself. So when you think about these two great commandments, you know that we can go back and look at the Ten Commandments. And so in a certain way, these two great commandments summarize all of the Ten Commandments. The first three, of course, are about God, that you should have no false gods, you should not use the Lord's name in vain, and you keep holy the Sabbath day. To love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul is to love him with everything you have. And so if you have false gods, you do not love God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul. If you're using the Lord's name in vain, which unfortunately is common in our culture, you should ask yourself, does that show something that I love God above all things? To use the Lord's name in vain is to use it at best in an empty way, and at worst, as a curse. And then to keep holy the Sabbath. And in a particular way, we'll come back to this, that third commandment ties into the bottom when the man responds that keeping these two great commandments is better than all burnt sacrifices and offerings. But we'll come back to that in a moment. The hard part, in a certain way, not that the first part is easy, because in a real way, the only way we can do any of this is with God's grace. But then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And one of the powerful things about that statement is it first reminds us of something that you could easily overlook. That there is a proper love of self. And we're supposed to then, after that proper love of self, God first, a proper love of self, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves. And so first we have 4 through 10. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill, commit adultery, steal, lie, or covet. As I've mentioned before, that's the baseline of morality. You cannot do any of those things and say that you love your neighbor, because those are all sins against the neighbor. But there's more than just the things that we're not supposed to do. In John's gospel, Jesus adds something at the very end, right before he goes to the crucifixion. He says to his apostles, love one another as I have loved you. And so what we heard today, we heard in the Old Testament, and now we heard Jesus repeating it in the New, but then he takes that last part, love your neighbor as yourself, and he raises it and says, love one another as I have loved you. And this is what separates Christians from everybody else. Allah did not tell Muhammad to love in that way. None of the other religions of the East, nobody has been challenged to love the way that God loves, except for us. And so this becomes, in a real way, the linchpin of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Christ. That I love God above all things, and I love my neighbor in the way that God loves me. And so, as I mentioned, all of the thou shalt nots are things we shouldn't do, but then we actually have to have real charity towards our neighbor. And in a real way, again, going back to the implicit command, which is a proper love of self. Like, you have to have an understanding of who you are. You're a child of God. Just a few moments ago, in the prayer over the catechumens, before they were catechumens, it says that in a certain way, God's light is within everybody because God created every single person. He instilled the soul into every person on the whole face of the planet. But there's something greater even than that gift, which is his charity. You need the soul so you can receive his charity and become who you were meant to be. And you're meant to be a son or daughter of God. And this particular way of living, as I've mentioned many times, changes the world. The love of God lived by his followers is what changes the world. And so we have to accept our dignity, and then we have to love with the dignity we've been given. And so when the man says to Jesus, "This is worth all burnt offerings and sacrifices," it doesn't mean that all those things went away, because we still have the greatest sacrifice known to man that's represented on our altar every single day, except Good Friday. But that's supposed to be the interior, is supposed to then shine forth into the exterior. So that great love of God and love of neighbor comes out. That's why the Lord doesn't say, "Don't have a sacrifice." He himself, on the cross, the greatest sacrifice known to man. But that was an outward manifestation of the inward reality of his heart, that he wanted so to fulfill God's love, so that his will, so that we would know God's love, and as St. Peter says on Pentecost, and be converted, to turn away from our sins. And that's a great challenge. And the great challenge is for us to accept first the dignity that comes with being a son or daughter of God. St. John, when he writes in his first letter, is very direct. You cannot say that you love God if you hate your brother. There's no way that you can love the God you do not see and hate the one you and hate your neighbor who you do see. That's not the Christian way. And so anytime that we might be a bit burdened by thinking about this hefty way of love, then we go back to the reality. It's not mine. It's God's. And it's his gift to us. Last week in the opening collect, we prayed for an increase in faith, hope, and charity. We prayed for an increase because there's nothing we can do to earn them. Our catechumens, in about 4 months, 6 months, excuse me, they will be baptized. And at that moment, they will receive those three great gifts of faith, hope, and charity. And after that moment, it's their job, as it is ours, to work with God's grace so that those gifts are increased within us. That through prayer and study, the faith is made sure in our souls. That through acts of hope, especially with the Blessed Sacrament, we grow in our trust in God and that he will accomplish everything he has promised us. And then the great commandments we heard, that we will love God above all things and love our neighbor for the sake of God. It's us cooperating with a grace that's already been given. And the reason, as I mentioned, it's greater than any burnt offering or sacrifice is because that should be manifest. What's in our heart should be manifest by what we say and do. As the Lord says in a different place in Matthew's gospel, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if our hearts are filled with the love of God and neighbor, that should be something recognizable by the way we speak and act.